that kind of brings me up. I wanted to talk to you guys because I'm not sure where you guys are, but I think my son's probably like the youngest one in the group. My two, but you know, we're looking at that point now, like where, you know, puberty is a thing, right? And I have yet to have like the sex talk with my son, and I'm just like, I want to do it, but don't want to do it the wrong way. Cause I'll tell you, like my dad never had the talk with me. Okay. I think the way that my dad wanted my brother and me to figure out about it was he would just leave, like he would like quote unquote, like hide magazines around the house, like Easter eggs. And I mean, they were not difficult to find. So like when funny. I found them, I found a magazine.
Ron, just interrupt you, but magazines you're speaking of.
Well, you know, this was the 70s. So this was like, they had like the, you know, like the OU, like, is it We, OUI magazine? And just, you know, there was, you know, Playboy, obviously. And in fact, the one time that I got busted, but my dad didn't let me feel like I got busted. Who was the pinup? I forget her name. She's famous. She was a No, she was Miss America, but then they found out, oh, but she posed for Playboy back in the day.
Vanessa Williams.
Yes. So my brother had that in that magazine that came with a pullout poster of Vanessa Williams.
Oh yeah.
So I wasn't pleasuring myself or anything, but I had the poster in my room.
Thanks for that. That's gonna be etched in my mind forever now. I can't erase that.
Come on, hey, we're fraternity brothers, man. You've heard lots of weird shit coming out of my room back in the day. But I digress.
This is true.
So I have this entire poster open up, and I'm just admiring this thing. And my dad just comes right in the room, opens the door, boom, and I took the poster, pinned it to my body, and jumped on the bed on top of the poster.
Oh, that's funny. It's like you're
jumping on a grenade.
Yeah, it was a grenade. I grenaded the poster.
That's
and then
so
my dad
funny.
my dad's like, "Oh, dinner's ready," and closed the door and left.
That's hilarious.
I don't know
that's
if he
hilarious.
Thought he might have thought I had my dick out. I don't know, but that was
that's funny.
But that's how
that's awesome.
I mean, that's how he kind of wanted, I think, my brother and me to learn about sex. But he would just leave magazines out, so we never had the talk. And then I don't even remember. I mean, you know, Cinemax and whatever is kind of like how it came to be. But what about you guys? Have you guys had that talk, or do you think it's? I mean, because I think my 11-year-old already knows what's going on. I just want to kind of connect with him about it.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm gonna go first. No, I have not. I've actually caught my son by way of perusing his browser history. He discovered the World Wide Web. And so obviously I pulled him aside and said, son, these are absolutely the wrong sites you're going to. Let me show you the right sites.
Yeah. Well, don't go to the pay sites.
Totally wrong.
That's funny.
It's free if you know what you're doing. But in all seriousness, man, I think so. It's so at your fingertips these days. The information is all right there, and you really can't avoid them stumbling across that stuff and content. So my philosophy has always been try to like not protect them or hide them from it too much, because if you do, it becomes the forbidden fruit. But we have had the conversation about why respective women, and that's not real life, and that you really should go try to find a real woman, and a real connection is a hell of a lot better than a digital experience. And just trying to instill in him that the real connection in real life is much better than the interwebs. But based on, you know, education on what it is, I think he's been baptized by resources that are at his fingertips. And I don't think he has a lot of unanswered questions for me at this point.
That's funny.
How about you, DC?
Yeah. Now, my kids still think you get pregnant by taking a pill.
Oh wow! Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. No, you know my oldest actually they took sex education class.
Yeah,
I think classes last year. So you know, kind of learned about the anatomy and all that stuff of both a woman and a male. And you know, so funny is that back in it was back when they were doing their first virtual e-learning. He had a computer that we had, and he kept getting these pop-ups, you know, that were like, and he said, "Dad, these things keep popping up. Can you do something to put some spyware in here to keep them pop up?" And so I was like, yeah, I get around to it. So I never got around to it.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, you know, I shouldn't be telling you this because my wife, I'm not going to let her listen to this podcast.
She's not going to listen to this.
but I told her, but she was, he happened to click on one. And then he like started watching them because he was curious, but he got to the point where he was just like, I have to confess to you. I clicked on the thing because I was so curious, but now I can't get it in my head. And I feel like a bad son. I feel like a bad person. I was like, dude, calm down. He was freaking out. He was like, I can't get it out of my head. Cause I was like, dude, what did you see? And I said, how much did you watch? So I said, look, you know, do you understand, you know, how this happened, how all this stuff happens and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, yeah. And so, I didn't necessarily have the talk as far as what you want to do. He was kind of overwhelmed by it. I don't know. Yeah. He was in shock. He was just like, you know, he's like, I can't get it out of my head. I said, me neither. I can't get it out of my head either.
Yeah.
Trust me, son. I think eventually, I was actually just thinking about this the other day. Eventually I'm going to have that talk. He's 13, you know, I mean, he's going to be 13 and, you know, he's going to be having those feelings and, you know, we got to figure out how to, you know, basically, you know, tell him about the birds and the bees because things are just so much different now with these kids, man. They got social media, you know, they got TikTok, they got all these different things and, you know, there's just a lot more fast than we were growing up.
Yeah. I think, sure. You know, in today's the social media age, it's all the incredibly predatory platforms and sites that are out there, the opportunities for kids to really get in trouble. I'm just thankful that I have a son, and dealing with sons is so much easier. I know we all feel that way. I can't imagine what it'd be like raising a teenage daughter in today's digital age. Wow. Everywhere you turn, there's some danger lurking behind the digital corner. It's just really scary and something we didn't deal with.
Well, this is like, yeah, I don't have a daughter, but I do have a niece and she's a freshman now in college. So, her dad is no longer with us. He's passed away. But, I think of like, if my brother were here, you know, like what would he, you know, cause my niece is very beautiful and she has a Instagram account, and my wife will tell you that she'll put up some of these photos. Maybe she and her friends, like, you know, on vacation at the beach, whatever. And she's getting like 500 likes. And I'm like, I get pissed off. I'm like, what the hell is this shit? Like, what's she posting this picture for? And I show my wife, she's like, what's wrong with you? She's like in like her bathing suit. I'm like, I don't care. I don't like it. Like, text her and tell her to take it down. And then, we never do, but no, I know what you mean, right? But honestly, she is such a great girl. I don't worry about her at all when it comes to that. You know, I think she's got a great head on her shoulders, and I just feel like the overprotective uncle at times. But yeah, I definitely agree with you though, Bri. I'm happy that to take a line from the league. Was it when you have a son, you worry about one dick, you have a daughter, you have to worry about every dick?
Yeah.
It's true.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true, man. It's like when you have boys, it's like very simple. Don't get hurt. Don't hurt anyone else. Period. It's very,
exactly.
Very easy.
Yeah.
Yep.
In the simplest form, at least.
Well, I want to actually segue from here because we mentioned that you last night you had a little bit of tequila watching the election going on. But tell us about the tequila company that you're in with right now, DC, because you guys know, I mean, I love tequila. Like, that's my drink. I mean, our family drinks it. Like, you rarely see us drinking like vodka or whiskey. It's definitely like, we'll take any cocktail that you have out there and we'll change it to tequila. It doesn't matter.
Absolutely. Okay? Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Tell me about...
Do you guys still have that tequila song that used to be your door chime when you ring the doorbell? You still have that, Ron?
Just go... You have to...
Tequila!
Oh, the one that just... Yeah, does... Yeah. Yeah, no, that's always going to be there. Yeah.
Tequila!
Yeah, that's my horn on my car, too.
That's funny. Yeah, yeah. So the tequila company is called Cantera Negra Tequila. Cantera Negra. It's an ultra premium tequila, made in the highlands of Jalisco, Mexico. It's probably the best tequila I've ever tasted. And how I got involved is one of my boys I played college ball with. He knew that I launched a tequila back in the day, probably about, 6-7 years ago. I was part of this tequila brand that launched in Chicago. And so I had some experience. And so he kind of wanted to pick my brain about some stuff because his buddies were just getting into it and brought it from Mexico. And he kept telling me about it. He was like, dude, man, he said, this tequila is blowing up. He said, people are just freaking out because they say they love it. And I said, man, just send me a bottle. Send me some samples. Let me taste it. Mm-hmm. And literally he sent me some samples and I was blown away. And I was like, how can I get involved? And that's how I got involved. And so we're in 22 different states. We launched in Illinois in January, but obviously COVID has kind of limited where we can sell or knocking down doors right now. We're in probably about 7 restaurants. We're in about 5 or 6 retail spots. We're not in Benny's yet, but we're getting there. But it's something that you guys got to taste it. Ron, you're a tequila lover.
Yeah.
I want your honest feedback
too. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Well, we got to hook it up. I'll send you guys some, and maybe we'll do a virtual tasting or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely, man. And Ron, I can't wait to. Are you going to open up another spot?
Yeah. So right now, with I had a taqueria opened up for a little while, and we shut down right before COVID kind of hit mainstream. But I'm actually looking to open up somewhere out here, somewhere a little bit closer to home.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. You have some good food, brother. Talented brother.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Thanks, man. The one thing that we never got to do, DC, is I wanted to get your little diner's crew over to Taco Mucho. We didn't do that, but I'm looking forward to it in the future. Can you tell us a little bit about that before we – I know you got to probably run here pretty soon, but – I know Brian, it's a Little Diner's Crew is a way to get some of the younger kids out there and really introduce them to food, to culture, to different ethnicities that they might not typically, see. Basically, it's a way to, I guess on the low end, describe it, you're sick of your kids eating PBJ and chicken fingers, like you want them to eat real food. And DC's done that. And I'll kind of let him explain about that, but let us know what's going on with it. Yeah, it's very, very cool.
Yeah, man. Thanks. The Little Diner's Crew is a dining club for kids between the ages of 4 and 12. My wife and I started it as a way to expand kids' palates beyond mac and cheese and chicken fingers. Yeah. And, the whole concept is what we do is try to allow kids to eat, travel, and explore the world through food. So we came up with a concept because, we eat out all the time and we introduced our kids to the different foods that we eat. And so parents used to see our kids eating sushi and Indian food and things like that at different restaurants. And they complimented the boys. And they asked us, how do you get them to eat these different foods? Because my kid only eats mac and cheese. And so, we said it's really simply about exposure. They eat what we eat.
Yeah.
And we also noticed on the kids' menu, you go to a restaurant, a nice restaurant, and on the kids' menu was mac and cheese and chicken fingers and butter noodles. And so, they didn't have real food on there. So my wife and I was like, we got to do something about this. And so we came up with a concept. And once a month, what we do was we try to select a country that we want to visit. And then we find a restaurant that actually has that type of food. So, for example, we just held an event in October at a Turkish restaurant. So we visited Turkey and we curate the menu we work with the chef to populate the menu with about 4 to 6 dishes that kids can try. The parents actually have the same exact menu. When the kids come, they sit at their own table. The parents sit at their own table. The kids are greeted with a mocktail. The parents have their own cocktails. The chef comes out, introduces each dish. The kids have their own menu and they rate each dish as they try them. And they learn about how the food is made, the ingredients used, where the ingredients come from. And then we also take them through like some cultural fun facts so they can actually learn about the country that we're visiting. You know, it's really cool to see them trying these different foods and then rating and taking ownership of their own experience. There's a lot of peer pressure there too, because there's a lot of kids that don't want to try the food, but then they see another kid trying them and then they try it. And we just ask them, hey, look, you don't have to like it. We just want you to try it. And usually 9 times out of 10, you know, they rate it somewhere between really liking it or kind of liking it. And, you know, kids are kids. And so if they see something that that doesn't look presentable to them on a plate, they may not want to try it. But it's been really great. And we've done almost 40 events thus far at some of the best restaurants in the city, worked with some of the best chefs. Wow. We were trying to work with Ron.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Parents love it. Chefs love it. And members, kids that are members get a passport, and we stamp their passport at the end of each event.
Man,
so they can
kind of
document
cool.
this.
Love that. Wow.
Thank you.
Very cool.
Yeah. Such an awesome concept. How long have you been doing that?
It'll be 4 years in January. Yeah.
Very cool, man.
And we were scheduled to expand to LA in April, but obviously COVID kind of knocked us down from that. But we're working on some other things as well. We're working on a food delivery app that is going to be curated for families and kids, but can be used by anybody. So yeah, we're kind of working on that too.
God, that's amazing.
Thanks.
I think you nailed it, Ronnie, at the beginning when you said DC's Mr. Hustle, because there's a lot of hustle getting done. It sounds amazing and super cool. Not to get too philosophical about it, but the notion of exposing kids to different cultures, different ethnicities, kind of hits right at the heart of an issue in front of all of us right now, which is a better youth, a better understanding and lens around. It's not just about mac and cheese and chicken fingers. It's not just about what's common to your world right in front of you, you know? You're bridging better cultural understanding, and that's super cool, and wish you continued success with it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. And, you know, one of the things you just kind of mentioned is, you know, there's a lot of things that's been happening, obviously, in 2020, especially with the George Floyd and Breonna Taylor protests and stuff like that. So we had a friend of Little Diner's Crew named Christina Nicholas, who actually reached out to us. She has 2 young boys, and she, you know, she was trying to kind of talk to her kids about everything that was happening. And you know, she's white, and you know, she just wanted to have these discussions about social injustice and equality and stuff like that. So she came up with this concept and she wanted to partner with us. And but we kind of came up with this concept called Children with Change, and the whole idea is to kind of merge what we're doing with dining,
awesome,
and teaching kids educating kids about the social injustice and how to be little activists and stuff like that. So we're doing this virtual dining experience, a 3-part dinner series sponsored by Mariano, starting on November 8th. And so we're going to have an author paired with a chef. We're going to have a child psychologist paired with a chef. And we're going to kind of go through this tasting with food and then kind of bring all this together. So it's
wow.
It's going to be pretty nice.
That's amazing. I say wow because what you're doing is creating.
Thank you.
Well, it's changed from the ground up, man. It's really impressive and important work you're doing. Congrats. Sounds like you got your sights set on LA. Are you planning to roll out to other markets eventually as well?
Yeah, you know, we're looking at some of the bigger markets, obviously, because we think that they can support what we're doing. But yeah, LA is one. We're looking in maybe Brooklyn, and we've been contacted by folks in DC and folks down in Dallas and stuff like that. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Congrats on everything that you're doing. It's been a pleasure having you today, man. Thank you so much. You're actually an inspiration to me. I mean, I gotta get off my ass, man. I gotta start doing more.
Yeah.
That's be more like here thinking, be more like DC.
You're feeling anxious here, man. All I've done during coronavirus is binge watch a bunch of Netflix shit. So I better get on the game, get off the stick.
That can be productive, though. That can actually be very productive.
Thanks, Ron.
If you're watching the right shows.
That's
right,
exactly.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, thank you guys for having me. This is awesome. Like what you guys are doing with the podcast. I'll be tuning in to future episodes.
And thanks to all of you out there for allowing us to invade your personal space. We appreciate it. And that'll do it for us here at Two Guys, One Podcast. We will see you next time.
It's Two Guys, One Podcast.